text read in your hearing, I believe it's helpful to us, but help us to set our minds on Christ. Now, it's not different from any other text that we will have from the Gospels, which show the death of Christ and preparing and setting down this occasion of the Lord's Supper for his people. But what I want to do this morning, I want to take us to Christ does something here that is not as clear in the other gospel writers what he is doing when he sits down at the table with them. And that is what I want to see. There's a setting and an occasion that we have, which is actually coming to the Lord's Supper. Now, that occasion, we can see clearly in the text, what we have here, Jesus is clearly teaching his disciples that there will be an end to the Passover. And we find him saying that. Notice what he says, as he says that, we see in verse 14. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffered it. Here Christ is indicating that what he's doing, what all Jews would do in that day and at that time, it was to take the Passover. The Passover was a reminder of the redemption that Israel had out of Egypt when God himself brought them out with an outstretched arm. So all through their lives, they were to celebrate the Passover. This was a time when they would actually come together and they would do the same thing that Moses told them to do even in Egypt, that they should take a lamb. And they should slaughter that lamb and put the blood over the doorposts and everything. And then in that, the lamb was dying. And basically, they were dying for the lamb, that is, for their sins and receiving them, redeeming them at that point and bringing them out. Now, this would be something that they would do. Now, I know you probably heard about this, and I'm not going to go into you. But the meal itself, at the Passover meal, it had certain points to it. And there's certain cups that you would drink along the way. And most of them, when they look at this, they say, when you get to a part where Jesus says, and he takes the cup and is pointing to his blood, that was that final point. But one thing they would do in the Passover meal, the lamb that was there, which was, they were still eating the lamb, that was not eaten until last. And so it's at this point Jesus takes the cup, and it's before the eating of the lamb, he presents himself as what would be for them as the lamb from this point on. But Jesus, he comes and he says this to them. He says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus is indicating to them there was great desire in him. Now the word he uses for desire actually means to set your heart upon something. But there's two words here. He has, I have earnestly desired. You may have a different writing of it in your if you have the King James Version. But actually, earnestly and desire is really the same Greek word, but it's two forms of it. Desire means to set the heart upon. And Jesus said, I have set my heart upon eating this meal with you. But when he says earnestly, there's a deep yearning or longing to eat this meal. Jesus wanted to do that. He desired, and that was due to his mission and his very love for his disciples. This is something he wanted to do. He's come to the point now where they are going to be no longer with him. He's going to go. And it's almost as if he's setting them up to teach them what needs to be done. And how are they going to take on after him? Now remember, the Passover was a great thing to be done amongst the children of Israel. And Jesus now is going to take them from the Passover to something else. And so his great desire was in also what he would be teaching them, what he would be taking them through. He said he had a great desire. His love for his disciples was really deep. He had real love for them. John tells us in the 13th chapter of his gospel, in verse 1, and I only read a portion of that to you, having loved his own who were with him in the world, he loved them even to the end. So Christ had his heart set on his disciples, but we know after this, set upon all those who will believe after him also. So this was something that was deeply in him, that he would have this last Lord's Supper with them, but something was going to take place. And we could say he desired to eat it with them. He desired that. Again, this points to the fact that Christ is saying that this would be, he would no longer be eating the Lord's Supper. And you remember how the disciples felt at one time, I'm sorry, the Passover meal, how the disciples felt. There was no thought of Jesus Christ leaving him. They would have to see him set up the kingdom which they believed that the Messiah came to do. So their minds were still basically on, something's going to change. He is Messiah. But Jesus says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now that wasn't something that the disciples took so lightly. They didn't want the idea of Christ suffering. They wanted him to stay with them, teach them, and continue to guide them. And whatever was going to become now of what now Messiah would do, they were a part of it, and they wanted to see it for the very restoration of Israel. But Jesus knew that at this time he was going to showing them something. He would be showing them something, and they would have to learn something. And they have to learn this very idea that it would now come to an end as far as the Passover meal was concerned. As far as God was concerned and what was going to take place, that would no longer be there. He said to eat the Passover with them. He loved them, and he wanted to teach them that the transition from the Passover to the ordinance that he was going to give them, it symbolized his death. They knew what the Passover symbolized. It was the death of a lamb for their redemption. Christ wanted now move them from that and set their minds on the Passover, which would symbolize his death for him. I greatly desire, earnestly desire to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. And here he was saying, this is the very thing that I see. I see now what needs to take place. Now, why he had such a strong desire? Because his people now had to come to the point to understand what was about to take place. Jesus knew that in a few hours, he would have them leave them and would die. He would no longer be with them. He would be upon the cross and dying. And they would see him. And you know, Jesus would say along the way, O ye of little faith, how long will I be with you? So he knew that this very scene when it come on, they were going to be those who would, as he said, and it would happen, the shepherd would be taken and the sheep would be scattered. Jesus, all he wanted to do was to point them to something else that they could hold on to, which was the truth of what was going to happen. You see, the Passover was a feast given by God to the Israelites to commemorate their freedom. Now, they needed something else that was set upon them. It would not no longer be the Passover. Jesus was committed to worship God the way it had been given to him through Moses. But he also knew that what was established by God through Moses would come to an end. And he had to prepare his disciples for it. He was keeping the Passover for the last time. More importantly, he was about to establish a greater feast for them. And so he comes in there. Here it is at the Passover meal. And he's saying to them as they take the meal that he wanted them to understand something. There would soon be a new symbol. And this is what he had to bring to them. No longer a lamb taken from the flock. Instead, the Lamb of God would be the one now set before them and before them for always. His death and resurrection would be the end of the old system and the beginning of a new. This would come through his suffering, his dying upon the cross. So Jesus, in this we find here what Luke records for us, is focused upon the very Passover meal. But he had an expectation too. Notice what he says in verse 16. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He says he'll never eat it again. Now what he's speaking of, he's speaking again of the Passover meal. He set his sight upon the meaning of the meal itself. Now, though we look at the Passover meal, and the Jews look at it also, they looked at the redemption which he brought them out of Egypt. But Jesus here says there is a greater vision, a further point to this whole meal. The redemption of the Passover, the coming out of Egypt, was not the very thing that God wanted to focus upon. He knew he was sending a Messiah Where would the people of God be? You see, they came out of Israel and went to the land of Canaan. But now there isn't going to even, as they say, into that heavenly Canaan, into the kingdom of God. God's sight was much further than just come out of Egypt on a land you're going to have here on the earth, and that was going to be it. Jesus makes that clear because he says, as far as the Passover was concerned, he says, I long to eat it with you. And he said to them, for I say to you, I shall never again eat it. It what? The Passover. Until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of heaven. A redemption which Israel had was just a slight shadow of the redemption that would be, which will come in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus set his sight upon the meaning of the meal itself. It had a symbolic meaning, and until that meaning was become fully realized in the new heaven and the new earth, he will not eat it again. Not eat the Passover again. It is in heaven where the deliverance of his people from sin and evil will be truly and completely accomplished. And Jesus said that's where it's going to take place. The cup of blessing has been set apart for a common use. So what we find here now is Jesus Christ is saying this. Here is what you see, and here is what you understand. That it is the Passover. Now you have to move to something else. Now, in the midst of the whole supper that was taking place, Jesus is the one. And it says in all the homes that they had this, there was the host, or probably the head of the house. So he took it, and he walked them through every phase of the Passover meal. Jesus had that position of walking them through every phase of the Passover meal. And so what he was doing then, as he come to the one point, we find that Jesus now turns the focus to something else. And it marvels me that any one of them didn't have a word to say about that, but maybe they did. Notice what Jesus says. He says the same thing that he said in verse about the eating of the meal. He says in verse 8, "For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." So again, he's pointing the Passover meal. There is a focus from it that's far beyond what the Jews thought it would be. You commemorate our giving, our redemption from Egypt, and that was it. Christ shows us here that it's further than that. You're not looking far enough. And when he says that, he says the kingdom of God, he says the kingdom of God twice. And then, verse 19, he takes it and turns it, and he moves it to what we know to be now the ordinance set. In verse 19, "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This is my body. Now here is something that would be new for the disciples. They would not have had any concept of what is beginning to take place by Christ here now. Now, although you have those three disciples that was with him who came from John the Baptist, when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world," they would not have been thinking this way then. But Jesus now moves it to it. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, here we have Jesus saying now, the body now, what he says as he took the bread and he gave thanks for it, he said, "Now, this represents my body." Can you imagine what the disciples was thinking at that time? "Oh, great. I'm clear on this. This makes sense to me." No, I don't think they would have. They would have been wondering, what is he saying? What does he mean? This is my body. Now, you're probably aware that in different aspects of the church, the different ideas of what the bread actually represented as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the one that the Catholicism believes that the bread actually turned into the actual body of Christ. But we know that's not the case because Christ was there and the bread was there. So he couldn't. Automatically, Christ is gone and now it's the bread. But actually what he's saying, this represents my body. Now, here what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing now, he's making it, and they, I believe, could pick this up after a while, that the lamb that's sitting on the table, it represents death. It represents your redemption. It's the very thing that has been put to death for you so that you would be redeemed. But he says now, as he eats the bread, now I want you to see this represents my body. And this is what's going to take place. You yourself are going to be redeemed, not through this piece of lamb which was cooked, is laying there, but it's going to be through my body, through my death and what I will have to go on, what I'm going to take, what's going to happen to me. That's what you are going to see. That's what's going to take place. And as he says, this is my body, he's indicating in this that he is going to see death for them. He's going to be the one, because the very supper itself, it represents death and redemption. Passover represents that. Now, Jesus is now representing the death and redemption. This piece, this loaf of bread here, is the very one that represents that now. Now, as you look at this, you're going to change. Now, imagine. Now, he's telling and teaching these Jewish men to turn from eating the lamb, which is a redemption out of Egypt, and look to the bread, which is my body, which is broken for you. Eat that. Put your very thoughts on something else. And so I believe we could understand what Jesus was said. Do this in remembrance of me. You have come to the Passover meal, and your remembrance, your mind was always set upon what took place with the lamb. The lamb is sitting right here. It takes you back to the redemption of your people out of the land of Egypt. But now, I don't want you to remember anything about out of the land of Egypt. I don't want you to even think of that lamb sitting on the table. I want you to think about me. Eat the bread. When you're eating it, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about me. It represents me. No longer look at the lamb, which represents the death taking place back there when Moses brought him out of Egypt. Think about a redemption that you're going to receive right now, focused upon me. And we know, as we look at this, we can say that God made it clear through the scriptures that Jesus Christ's death had not yet taken place, but I believe it clicked for the disciples when they saw him on the cross, dying for them. And he knew that they began to understand all that Christ has said about what would happen to him, and he would be the one to die that they may have eternal life. But he goes on. Now we see Jesus points to the fact, away from the whole idea of centering your thoughts upon the lamb that was there. You centered upon the Lamb of God. And then it says in verse 20, and in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. So, okay, again, now he moves away from, again, completely away from redemption from Israel. That is not the focus. But he's taking them through that. And it had to come to that point. That redemption from Israel, yes, God did that. But God is now changing. That symbol is no longer going to be your focus. That's not going to be your thought. As far as your worship to God now, it has to be on something else. He took the cup. He gave thanks again. He said, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. I wonder if the disciples at that time had in their mind they can go back, and where did Jesus get this from? What is he talking about, the new covenant in my blood? Well, we know as you go back into the book of Exodus, you find that even Moses said, or God said through Moses, another covenant I will make, because you broke the first one. And I'm going to make a whole new covenant. Then he comes up again. He says it again in Jeremiah. A new covenant I will make with you. And he says in that covenant, you're not going to be those who are going to just follow after me by reading the law. Or even greater than that, you're not going to be those who follow after me because you belong to the nation of Israel. I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to put my word in your heart. And then you will walk in my commandments and you will keep my word. It's going to be changed. I'm going to take away your sins. I'm going to forgive you for your sins. And so this is a new covenant. So Jesus, when he says this, he's pointing back. He's saying, now, no longer coming out of Egypt, and you're now going to continue to worship that redemption from Egypt. What you're going to begin to worship now is that God has done something which is a forgiveness of your sins. And you will be brought to the place where you could understand what this salvation is all about. Now, again, you think back about with the disciples, and you wonder how much did they pull together as they were seeing Jesus, and Jesus was teaching them. How much did they understand about him, about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven? What is it really going to be? And we know that there's very little that they really took in until after the death of Christ. But yet still, after that, there still were some things that they didn't quite understand. In the book of Acts, they said to him when he came with them, appeared to him before he went up into heaven, Lord, is it at this time you restore the kingdom to Israel? So they really didn't understand. But so Jesus said here, now this is what? A new covenant, you have to understand it. You have to understand what is going to take place. I'm going to make a covenant. I believe they did understand a covenant. The idea of a covenant. They knew that God made a covenant with Israel, made him a special people. He said, now if they live, they kept the covenant, these blessings will be theirs. If they broke the covenant, they will be cursed wherever they went. And so when it's a new covenant, now at least the apostles are saying he's going to make a covenant. He's making a covenant, and what is it going to be? But he says this. He says this, and purely it comes out. This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. This cup represents my ratification of the new covenant which God said and gave us through Old Testament, baby. We spoke to Moses, and also when he spoke through Jeremiah. Here's what he had promised, the covenant. Jesus said, now the covenant is being ratified. It's now. And guess what? This covenant is forgiveness of sins. This covenant is that you will have the Spirit of God in you. This covenant is you will live for God through Jesus Christ. Because he puts himself in the place of that. He is a sacrificed one. And so he is the one who is able and the only one able to free them from their sins. So what Jesus does, he takes what they already knew and why they were there worshiping, and he takes it, he brings it into it, and he comes over now. It's going to be a new situation. And that's marvelous, dear people, because not only does it tell to the Israelites that now here is truly what God has been promising all along, that there would be a redemption that you could not be able to even find any equal to it at all than all the religions of mankind, that you would be with God. You would be with him in the eternal kingdom. That's what he's pointing at. But Jesus says now, but no, even though you had the thought of that, because we know that the Pharisees believed in the angels and hell and in the eternal life hereafter. But although you thought of that, there's only one way you're going to get there. It's going to be through Jesus Christ. And Christ is telling them, this is what you have to see. You're going to come through me and through me alone. And so when Christ says, this is my blood, this is my body, he's saying, I am the sacrifice. I am the one now. I am the lamb now. No longer this piece of lamb that's cut here, roasted, and sitting on the table, and if we should take it and eat it. No, I don't even think they ate it. I'm not certain about that, but I don't think they ate the lamb. I think at that point, Christ turns them from the lamb, and he turns them to himself. And so now he has to, in some way, though blurred, become the sacrifice in their minds. And so, dear people, when we see this, we see Christ saying, here's the only way you and I can be those who now have part with Christ, to see him as what he's done and who he is, to see him as the one who has won for us that great salvation through him and him alone. I think there's a good word that actually explains this to us in the amount of time I have left. And Paul writes to the Corinthian church. And you find it in 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to turn you there. But Paul says the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the blood of Christ? And he talks about the body also. But what he's saying, and I think this is a very important point for us, as we come and do this in remembrance of him, Paul is saying here, is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? And he says the same thing about the cup, a sharing in. He's saying there, the word used there is a communion. And so basically where we get our words, communion. So basically what we do, we come and commune with Christ at the table. You see, his body is the important aspect of what we're doing. His blood is the important aspect of what we're doing. We're not just not taking this as a ritual detached from Christ. The whole ordinance itself is we share it. We take part in Christ. We are communing with Christ. Now, what we are not doing, it is not communing with him physically, and that's one of the problems that some of the church denominations have, as if we're communing with him physically. And so as you eat the bread, you're taking the actual body of Christ in you. No, it's it by faith. It's spiritually. We are actually coming. And as we come, we look at all that the blood of Christ has done, all that the body of Christ has promised. We are participating with this ordinance. All that he has promised to us through everything we find in the scriptures, he said, you commune with him, and by faith, you believe that all that he has promised is coming to you. And it is set apart for you through him. Christ blessed the bread and the cup when he instituted the ordinance. We pray before the ordinance. We distribute it after it's been prayed upon, that they may be a means of communicating the benefits of Christ to us. You see, what the church does it for a purpose. Christ did it first. He set the ordinary things. Remember, in the upper room, there was no special thing there. The ordinary things, he set it apart by prayer. Bread, he prayed for it. He blessed. Paul calls it the bread of blessing. But really, he didn't say that. The bread has a special thing that comes and blesses us. It is set apart. And as it's set apart for the purpose that Christ has it. And so when we bless the bread, we are actually asking Christ to bless it, and all the promises that come through the very act that we are doing, humbly submitting ourselves to Christ, and all the benefits promised in the whole throughout the scriptures, they come to us as we commune with Christ in this way. And the same thing with the blood. Now, people can say in some, philosophical way, you've been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what does that actually mean? It means that the very purpose that Christ died, it now is the benefit that comes to us. But not the blood itself, but the promises that are made by the death of Christ. And as those promises are made to us, we now are those who come to Christ. The symbols of Christ's death is before us right here and now. We see him. It is now, right now, sitting on the table more than bread and juice because of what it represents. Taking the Lord's Supper brings us into communion with Christ. And this is why Christ wants us to think about it. You see, we can go in some way and think about Christ where he's Savior, he died upon a cross. But what did he die for? Why did he die? Died for your sins. Died for your freedoms. Died for all the blessings that God promised that he would bring to those who bring to himself. Died for all that he said he would do for you. All the ways he would protect you and keep you. Died for all the benefits, graces, and mercy that he would show upon you. That's what he died for. So when we look at the cup and we bless it and say, this is the body of Christ, we bless the bread, we're saying that this represents Christ himself has told us, as when we take the bread, think about him and all that comes to us through him and through his death. So people, he's telling us, here, you think upon Christ. All the scriptures should come to our mind, as many as it can, when we come to this very communion. because now we are communing with Christ Jesus. Remember that. Christ is not standing outside looking at us. We come into close communion with him. That's why it's called a communion. And also we come in close communion with one another. We're doing this as a body of Christ connected together in that fellowship as we as one and as we as individual come into fellowship with Jesus Christ. Doing it in remembrance of him is having him at the forefront of our mind. And when he says this is the blood of the new covenant, just think about the blessings that come to us as being a part of the new covenant. We could go back and think that we committed sins. We said we're going to do better. And this is before we came into grace. But we found out that we couldn't do much better. By ourselves, we couldn't manage anything. We probably, as time go on, we became more hatred, more mean, more of a rank person, and just couldn't get anything done right. But when grace came to us, what happened to us? We changed. And a lot of times we still are amazed in the way we are changing. And what is that? That's the blessings and benefits come to us by the death of Christ Jesus. And so it is this. You see, we are the very proof of what Christ has said and why he came and what he died for. Each and every one of us in our own lives can say, here is proof. Someone would ask us, how do you explain what happened in grace? How can you say that where I can believe it? We have to tell them, I can't say it how you can believe it. Because it's not a logic thing. It's a faith thing. And we know and we have no doubt that Christ died for us. And so when we come to the table, when we take the elements, we see and understand that we are now participating in the body and blood of Christ. It is not the physical participation, but it's by faith. And even as Paul said, it was in Sunday school this morning, we have to fight. We even has, when we come here, we have to fight all the thoughts that are coming to our mind and to make us do this as a dead ritual. We have to fight it all. We have to think about Christ. What are we doing right now? And I believe the best thing for us to think of right now when we're doing this, and you can read Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and see what Paul says about that. You say, you'll find that we are actually communing with Christ. You're communing with him. And I believe this is a special part because it takes us away from everything else. It takes us away from all the theological stuff that we know, which is true, and it brings us down to the level of a relationship. To commune with someone is to have fellowship with them and have a sense of that person, knowing that person, you know, and seeing and understanding. That's what we do, and that's what Christ says, do this in remembrance of me. We come close to Christ. We eat the bread and we think of his body, but we think of who he is and how close we have come to him. We take the cup, we drink the fruit of the vine, and we think again what he's done. And this is communing with him. And this is what Christ wants us to do. And that's why he says, do this in remembrance of me. Let us pray.